So today we celebrate the feast of Mary, the Mother of God, and a continuation of the theme of the blessing of family of faith. And I just can't help but reflect on these readings, that continual message of the family of faith, this continual message of the bigger picture. We need that in our culture of isolation. In the cultural that says, oh, all you need is you and Jesus. That's it. You know, you don't need all this church. You don't need all this messy people. You don't need these priests. You don't need all these other people. Because people are messy. People, you know, they don't understand you. They don't get you. People hurt you and all these other things. And so a very strong push in our culture, it's get rid of the people, me and God. Well, it's kind of convenient. You don't have to come to church based on that theory. You don't have to come to church. Okay? But I suggest you're missing out on something if that's the tunnel vision of Christianity or religion that you take. It's just me and God. There's something you miss out. What do these readings show us? God's plan of blessing in the first reading. God's plan of empowering in the gospel, and the God's plan of family in the second reading. So blessing, empowerment, and family. So we have on this feast of Mary, Mother God, this first reading, which kind of seems like it doesn't fit, but if you look at it in the context of family, it does. But wow, how inefficient that God says, I want to bless my people. And listen to this sequence of events that God says, I want to bless my people. All right. The Lord said to Moses, speak to Aaron and his sons to tell them, this is how you shall bless the Israelites. And then gives a formula of blessing. And then so that they shall invoke my name upon the Israelites, and I will bless them. Did you catch kind of the sequence? God to Moses, Moses to Aaron, Aaron to his sons. His sons were the priestly order, and then the priests would say these words, and then God says, I'm going to bless them. This is completely inefficient. This is like totally inefficient. Like, God, get it. We need to get a process manager in here to kind of fix this chain, right? But if this is what God is doing, it makes sense. And I suggest, yes, God is breaking this kind of individualistic mindset. But God is giving a path of blessing. Blessing his people through the priests. Blessing his people through others. I've been reflecting on that, you know, because it's very easy for me as your pastor to be put myself in a box of functionality and to measure my effectiveness as a priest as basically my effectiveness as a manager. But that's totally not God's vision. For example, yesterday I came right here before Mass at, you know, 2 minutes before Mass. I fiddled with the thermostats and I'm thinking to myself, you know, how long have I been wanting to change these to wireless thermostats? But it's a very complicated process because we have a $300,000 HVAC unit and you got to do all these things, right? And I'm like, man, I still haven't changed these wireless. So I have to run up right before Mass and change them. I'm not an effective priest. And that's just a lie from the enemy. That's just a lie from the enemy. I'll tell you what God wants of his priests. He doesn't want managers. He wants holiness. I'm reflecting this. I'll share with you a quote from a holy priest, Jean-Baptiste Chautard. It's sometimes associated with St. John Vianney. If the priest is a saint, the people will be fervent. If the priest is fervent, the people will be pious. If the priest is pious, the people will at least be decent. If the priest is only decent, the people will be godless. So this is a kind of vision of like this, like, what God has in mind for, like, the blessing of his people is the holiness of the priest is the most important thing. But I don't think in those terms. And I need help to kind of remind myself the biggest blessing I can give to my people is my relationship with God. And sometimes I don't think that. But also, it's not just like God's blessing you by coming here through me. It's hard, you know, that's tough for us priests to kind of like say that, because it's like, oh, you know, I'm the center of the universe. But there's other principles. It's not just a blessing to the priest. And I'll remind this when we have these family things. Mom and dads with kids at home, do you recognize your power to bless your children? That God has established another hierarchy, that is the family. And that just as children are called to honor their mom and dad, there is a unique, unbreakable role for the rest of eternity that you will be bound to these children for eternity. They can't, even though they may have other mother figures, father figures, on account of just life, you have that inseparable bond. And so you have a role of blessing your children if they're in the home to say, you are loved by God, you are loved by me. You have a power to bless your children that no one else has. A unique role. And if your children aren't at home, you can continue to bless them. Continue to pray for them. Don't give up on that unique role you have, mom and dad. To bless your children, right? Again, breaking us out of isolation, bringing us, like, holiness matters. Holiness matters. Okay, that's the first thing. Second thing, God empowers the messengers. I'm looking at the shepherds in the gospel. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. What were they told? The angel's message to the shepherds. Do not be afraid, but behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Messiah and Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The shepherds, they see angels. Like a life, once in a lifetime thing. You're never going to see an angel again. They're given a message, Savior, Messiah, Lord. Wow, this is the hope of our people. We've been waiting for thousands of years for Savior, Messiah, Lord. So, once in a lifetime thing, angels. Once in the history of God's people thing, the Messiah. Big expectations. Where do they go? Bethlehem. What do they see? A baby. A baby in impoverished conditions. And yet, like they see that child. A baby. Like, he's a baby. They see with the eyes of faith. And they say, like, this is it. And they're really happy about it. I don't know. I think when it comes to you, what you have to bring, what you have to got, like, how often do we discredit ourselves and we kind of devalue, like, the message, or we kind of like, okay, here are the angels, here's the expectation, here's the baby. Oh man, that's, we kind of devalue, like what God wants to show us, what God wants to reveal to us. Like, we see something simple, it's too simple, it's too ordinary. Like, that happens all the time. You read the Bible, it's too simple. You come to Mass, it's too simple. And we kind of say, that's not God, it's too simple. And we kind of walk away disappointed. I don't know. And in terms of, like, you having something to offer. Oh, no. I can't speak things of faith. But people are doing it all the time when they go and they experience transformation in their lives through one of these programs I'm promoting and inviting you to consider. And your changed life is a message enough. Like, you experience God, that's a message enough. Oh, no, 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 not me, not me, not me. I don't have a degree. I don't have this. I don't know that. Like, okay, okay. I mean, God, if God can use shepherds, simple people of the field, God can use shepherds, why not you? Why not you? And if God can inspire through a humble baby, again, once in a lifetime message, once in a history fulfillment, in a baby, wow, the baby, like, this is our hope, then God can use simplicity to communicate a really big blessing. Okay, and then finally, the point of our feast is Mary. When the full, second reading, when the fullness of time had come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to ransom those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. As proof of this, God sent His Spirit of the Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. I'll share with you a reflection. Every year, I renew my consecration to Mary on this day. And so I'm going to share with you, I've been reading 33 Days of Morning Glory. I'm going to share with you Mary receiving the motherhood of Jesus, but also the motherhood of God's people as well. By Mary's yes to God, she accepts her vocation to be the mother of Jesus. But did she also know that she was accepting the call to be the spiritual mother to all Christians as well? I don't know. What I do know is that the whole mystery of the Annunciation gave Mary something amazing to ponder, something that happens to be deeply related to Marian consecration and entrustment. Let me put it this way. Who was the first person to entrust himself to Mary? That's a neat question. It wasn't the first saint that thought of this. It wasn't Louis de Montfort. It was God the Father. John Paul II explains, it must be recognized that before anyone else, it was God Himself, the Eternal Father, who entrusted Himself to the Virgin of Nazareth, giving her His own Son in the mystery of the Incarnation, end quote. Mary surely marveled at this act of humility on God's part. As she marveled and pondered it, might she have begun to have some inkling that God would later want the people He came to redeem to follow His own example? Okay. So I think if you're struggling with this idea, the bigger picture of Christianity, right? This bigger picture of blessing, I'm telling you, this bigger picture of God empowering you as His messenger, go to Mary. Go to Mary. Pray to Mary to help you break out of this individual, isolated Christianity. Pray for Mary to help you break from this, no one understands me, that vision that you have for your own life. This kind of isolating vision that the world wants you to have. Go to Mary, who understands you like only a mother can. So we thank God for the gifts, His plan of blessing, His plan of empowering His messengers, His plan of breaking through our individualism through the family. Let's pray that we may be open to God's plan. We may see the bigger picture. Amen.